your sacrifice. As I've said, this was about 3 or so years ago that some of what you will be hearing today was presented to the St. Jago congregation. God's people in Old and New Testament have always been called upon by the Almighty God to bring something to God. We run to Exodus 35:5, Leviticus 17:5, Malachi 3:10, John 15:2. Let us hear those passages quickly. God's people, Old and New Testament, have always been called upon by the Almighty God to bring something to God. Exodus 35:5.
Take ye from
Leviticus 17:5. Read.
Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord.
An offering unto the Lord. You may stop there, since we have much to cover. You see, I'm just making sure, while most of us are well aware that God has always asked that his people bring him something, we want to make sure that for those who didn't know, you know it. That you take from among you an offering. Leviticus 17:5, then Malachi 3:10.
To the end that the children of Israel may bring their sacrifices. Which they offer in the open field.
Here is another passage in another book stating the truth that God has always asked his people to bring something to him. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10.
Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse.
Bring you all the tithes.
Into the storehouse.
Into, that is God's storehouse. You may stop there. John 15. Notice the passage just read. Bring you not some, all your offering are tithes. John 15:2.
Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it
we
may bring forth.
We are to bear fruit. Right here now, the inclination is to just spend time on this passage, because the passage has to do with soul winning, evangelism. And here Jesus Christ, who does not waste word telling us, listen it again.
Every branch in me.
Wait, you are a branch in Christ if you are a Christian. I am a branch in Christ if I am a Christian. And here Jesus Christ is saying, every branch in me
that beareth not fruit.
If you do not reproduce yourself bearing fruit,
he taketh away.
He taketh it away.
And every branch.
Is soul winning, Brother Mitchell, tied to longevity? Use Pfeiffer and go home. He takes it away. That branch that does not bear fruit, he's going to take it away. What does the taking away mean? Read on.
And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit.
You see, Jesus Christ has great interest in every child that is bringing more fruit. Every child that is bringing fruit. 16.
Verse 16?
Yeah.
Ye have not chosen me, but
you have not chosen me.
But I have chosen you.
All of us were really called by Jesus Christ, by the gospel.
And
wait. All of us were first loved by God. Then when our eyes were open, we began to love Him. That's a fact. God first loved us.
That's right.
So what he said there in verse 16?
Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you.
Mm-hmm.
And ordained you that ye should go.
Wait. I ordain you. I set you for this reason. That you should go.
And bring forth fruit.
What are we saying? That every child of God, our God's people, have always been called upon in both Old and New Testament to bring something to God. Here Jesus Christ is spelling it out, that we are to go out and do what, brother?
And bring forth fruit.
That's soul winning. Are we all there? Though Christians are not called upon to kill rams and oxen, we are also called upon to bring sacrifices to God. In fact, look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 18. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, 15 and 16. What have I just said? That we are not called upon to kill the male among the sheep flock and offer it an altar to God. We are not called upon to look for the cow, the oxen, the one without any blemish, and offer it to God. But we are called upon to offer our own sacrifice specified by God. Philippians 4:18.
But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you.
Watch here now. Paul first set the stage that I am abound. I am not in need. Of course, he's going to tell you in the same chapter, I think, that he learned to abase and to abound. Something we need to learn. That when God fill your basket, you are thankful. And when that basket is partially empty, you still be thankful to God. You see, read, brother.
But I have all and abound.
Mm-hmm.
I am full,
mm-hmm,
having received of Epaphroditus.
The Philippians church had sent an offering to Paul while Paul was in prison. And that's why he's giving thanks to them. But he's going to say something here that is interesting. Read.
The things which were sent from you.
Uh-huh.
An odor of a sweet smell.
It's not that the same cologne. That's right. You see, he's taking a chapter out of the Old Testament when the animal was placed on the altar and burned. As the smoke went up, it was as if it went up to the Almighty God. It represents a sweet smell to God because of the sacrifice that it represents. Read, brother.
A sacrifice acceptable.
A sacrifice. You notice the gift sent to Paul. Paul is saying to the Philippians that in God's sight represent a sacrifice. Bring your sacrifice. Anything else in the verse?
Well pleasing to God.
Well pleasing. But Paul, are you saying it for? But if it was sent with the right motive, and if Paul was doing God's work, they in effect gave it to God. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, 15 and 16.
By him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually.
Wait. You know, Sunday, Wednesday night, we had a wonderful discussion on the subject of amen. Wednesday night, where even the unbeliever is expected to say amen.
That's right.
That is to be a part of, to participate in, to be involved in the worship. Watch here now. Start again, brother. Brother is in Hebrews chapter 13.
Verse 15. By him, therefore.
That is by Jesus Christ.
Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually.
Wait. Interestingly, it is true, and by Jesus Christ, we offer the sacrifice of, I need to remind us, the sacrifice of
praise.
Continually.
Amen. That's right.
Once every 6 months.
Continually.
Once every 3 months.
Continually.
Once per month.
Continually.
Continually.
That is,
he's going to tell us. He's not going to leave us in darkness in respect to what the sacrifice of praise is. That is the
fruit of our lips.
Everybody hear that? Brothers and sisters, when you and I uplift God's name in songs of praise, it is a sacrifice. And therefore, this is why it is so strange that you will have Christians sit there. They are doing every God thing, but uplifting God's name. That is wrong. Singing is a sacrifice of praise to God. The Bible says we must do it now and again.
Continually.
And now and again.
Continually.
Continually. So here we are, not only as we are expected to bring our sacrifices to the. That was verse 15?
Yes.
Verse 16.
But to do good.
Watch here. This is interesting. We have just been told the sacrifice of praise. That's the songs, thanksgiving and etc. that we give to God. It is a sacrifice. But watch here now. But to do good.
And to communicate.
Wait. Brother Mitchell, that's why I love to talk so much. Talk here doesn't mean communicate. It means to share. Everybody gets it? It means to share. When they are in need, brother or sister, you don't even wait until they ask if you are aware that they are in need. Huh? But to communicate, to share.
Forget not.
Wait, I thought there was something else there. It didn't say to communicate but to do good.
But to do good and to communicate.
Wait, well, y'all leave out some far. Read it now, brother.
But to do good.
But to do good, good works. And to
communicate.
To communicate, that is to share what you have.
Forget not.
Don't forget. Listen.
For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased.
Take time now, brother. Take time. With such sacrifices, what is the sacrifice? That is to do good and to share what you have with those who may stand in need of it. The Almighty God sees that as your sacrifice. Huh? So we are not called upon to give our rams and our oxen, but we are called upon to bring our sacrifices. Sacrifice. What is that, Brother Mitchell? Sacrifice is the act of offering something, giving something. Sacrifice. That which is offered. But here is it. Here is the key with sacrifice. Sacrifice, to be sacrificed, it must cost you something. It must take something out of you. There must be a price, a cost to you for it to be sacrificed. You cannot sacrifice for me and I sacrifice for you. Each one of us must give his or her own sacrifice. The Christian was called to bring or to offer sacrifice to God. Wait. I don't know how that come up. The Christians, we were called. That is by God. For what purpose? That is to bring sacrifice to God. That's why we work up. When God calls us to Christ, to forgiveness of sin, to hope of eternal life, to fellowship with Him, one of the main purposes that lies in that call is to bring sacrifice. Look in the book of Peter. Turn with me to chapter 2, verse 5. That is 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 5.
Ye also, as lively stones.
We also, as
lively stones.
Wait. We are stone, but we are not dead stone. Amen. Huh? When you look on those columns, they are bricks. They are not bricks made out of clay. They are bricks made out of cement. Concrete bricks. But they are bricks. But they are dead. Where did I pass this week? It must be somewhere in Mandeville, and you see the nice stone work. They use a lot of that in the time of Jesus Christ. The passage under consideration, 1 Peter chapter 2, said, you also are
lively stones.
Living. That's what the word lively there means. And that is, you are not dead. As living stones
are built up a spiritual house.
Houses, Jonathan, were built by stone. But those stones were dead stones. They were lifeless. They did not have life or blood in them.
Right.
Now, Christian built up a house. Are we all there?
Amen.
Who lived in that house, Brother Mitchell? The Bible tells us that it is God. According to the book of 1 Corinthians, somewhere there, 2 Corinthians, I will live in them and I will dwell in them. According to 1 Corinthians, I think it is chapter 5 at the end. Don't you know that you are the temple of God and that the Holy Spirit lives in you? Are we there? So we are stone, but we are not dead stone. You are also a lively stone, living stone. Read now.
Are built up a spiritual house.
We built up a house, which means we comprise a house.
And
notice, brother, I qualify a spiritual house.
Amen.
That's the church, you know.
Amen.
Read.
And holy priesthood.
Wait. We comprise a priesthood.
Amen.
And you know one of the great things about this priesthood? Under the Old Testament, only male could be priest. Are we there? Under the New Testament, male and female are priests. That's great. Read, brother.
To offer up spiritual...
Wait. You see why we are called to offer up? That is to bring what?
Spiritual sacrifices.
Everybody hear that? That's why we are called. That's why every time I keep reminding you. You see, like when Sunday comes. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Christians should look forward to meeting, gathering, assembling to bring sacrifice to God. Every act of worship is a sacrifice to God if it is offered willingly, gladly, to offer up spiritual sacrifice.
Acceptable to God.
By Jesus Christ. Now, to get a feel or a sense of sacrifice, that is to make sure that, you know, we get a feel of when the Bible speaks about sacrifice, some of what is contemplated, some of what is involved, some of what the sacrifice comprised. Let us briefly look at some Old Testament sacrifices. In Israel, under the law, there were 5 classes. Did I say 5? Yes. 5 classes of sacrifices instituted by the Almighty God and regulated in the book of Leviticus. 5 classes of sacrifices. 5. They were instituted by God and the book of Leviticus regulate them. 1. There was the burnt offering. This sacrifice signified complete self-surrender. Whenever you read in the Bible about the burnt offering, behind it, that is the concept that God had, is that sacrifice, that offering meant that you have totally and completely surrender your life to God. That's what the burnt offering sacrifice signified. Then the second one, there was the meat offering. That is M-E-A-T, meat that you eat. Meat offering. This one signifies loyal acknowledgement of God's sovereignty. Yes, the meat offering meant that you, in a way, that you're loyal to God and you're sincere. You are in that offering acknowledging that God is sovereign. He is over you and everything. That was significant of the meat offering. You have the other one, that is the third one, that is the sin offering. This offering signifies a propitiation of wrath and an expiation of sin in the offender. Explain that, Brother Mitchell. Thank you for asking me. The sin offering, when it is offered, it means that you have subsided God's wrath that He would pour out on you. And you have, I use the word expiated, which means the sinner, the person who offered it, meant that the wrath that would have been poured out on you, it is expiated, it is subsided in God because of that offering. It was sin offering. But there are two more. The fourth one is the trespass offering. What is that about, Brother Mitchell? The meaning, the concept behind that is that a satisfaction for sin is made. That means you have satisfied God by doing what He says for the sin you have committed. And the last one is the peace offering. This offering, as in effect the word implies, the peace offering signifies that you have union and communication with God, or it signifies union and communication between God and that person. Are we all there? All these offering or sacrifices were brought by the Israelite to meet a need in respect to their sin condition. Let me touch on a little more before I close. Remember this, brothers and sisters. In a series of lessons 2, 3, 4 weeks ago, I keep reminding us that sin is our greatest problem. Every time you or I hear of some terrible thing happening here or somewhere in the world, sin is the root cause. It is our greatest problem. Should I begin to name some things that they all come because of sin? Our illnesses. Are we all there? Problem in the homes, at the workplace, in governing, sin. It doesn't mean that we are ill because of our sin. It simply means we are ill because we live in a sinful world. We are because of sin, so many things going to go contrary. In a perfect world, there would be no sin. But notice this. In the Old Testament, for special sin, the law required special offerings. We don't have time to read these passages, but you will see this in the book of Numbers, chapter 15, verse 27 through 28. Leviticus, chapter 4, verse 3, verse 14, verse 23, verse 28. That for special sin, the law required special offerings or special sacrifices. But here's something that is quite interesting. Quite interesting. And I said to myself, I don't know if the lesson would take up 2 weeks, make 2 lessons or 1 lesson, and hopefully within the next 10 minutes, 5-10 minutes, I should be through. But let me say a few more things on this. Here's something that, as I've just said, that is quite interesting. The removal of sin under the Old Testament system was only for 1 year. I've just said, the removal of sin under the Old Testament. Watch it, watch it. No man or woman, no priest, no king was ever forgiven indefinitely. When you sin and come to God with your sacrifice under that system, God removed that sin only for 1 year. The Day of Atonement can be called the Day of Reminder. Because sin was brought past sin was brought forward on the Day of Atonement. But Brother Mitchell, I thought, you go to your priest and say, I thought I was forgiven for that when I brought the turtle dove and the oxen. I thought that sin was forgiven, or those sin was forgiven last year. No! Every atonement takes place on the, is it the 10th day, the 7th month of every year? The Day of Atonement. the past sin that you thought was dealt with last year would be brought on this day of atonement, and you are reminded of them. You know, while I'm dealing with the lesson, I'm wondering, my God, how can anybody want to bring us back to that system? Because when a man or woman come with about Sabbath and all those, the Bible called those beggarly elements, how can anybody want to bring us back? That's why Paul was so tough and rough and hard on those who talk about keeping the law. Only for one, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, following, quick, brother.
For the law having a shadow of good things to come.
What it has, brother?
A shadow.
Brother Webb, here is the difference between shadow and substance.
Yeah.
Huh? When I go in the Sunday and you see my shadow, that's the shadow. Mm-hmm. To get the substance, I am the substance. Mm-hmm. You see, the law have only the shadow. That's real, brother.
For the law having a shadow of good things to come.
Uh-huh.
And not the very image of the things.
You see, and even that, it doesn't give you a true representation. Read on.
Can never with those sacrifices which and they God. Offered.
That's the part again. Can never
with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect.
That's exactly what I'm saying. They offer them year by year. Here the Holy Spirit is saying through the inspired writer that they could never is a long time, but they could never make the comer, that is the person who brought these offerings, could never make them perfect. Read on, brother.
For then, would they not have ceased to be offered?
But then, he would not to offer. And what it is really referring here to is that every year, it's like, can you imagine? May I, after 20 years, when after 20 years, the day of atonement comes on the 21st year. It's 20 years of sin that would be, you'd be reminded of, because the day of atonement was for that reason. To remind you of past sin. You see, this makes passage like Jeremiah 31, 28, somewhere there, their sin will I remember no more. Looking forward to the time of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
When you and I are forgiven, it's a totally different reality. Read on, brother.
For then would they that have ceased to be offered, mm-hmm. because...
That is, if their sins were really completely removed. Read.
Because that the worshippers, once purged,
mm-hmm.
should have no more conscience of sins.
What it is implying here, every atonement day, he was reminded of his past sin and that troubled his conscience. May I? While I'm passing this here, when you go to God in sincerity for the forgiveness of your sin, for years I've been saying from this very pulpit, learn to forgive yourself when God has forgiven you. But you know what? You must make sure God has forgiven you. Make sure you understand God's term and condition for the forgiveness of sin. Once you know for sure and you do God's will, you don't have to let that sin worry you anymore. Read on, brother.
But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year.
Somebody was listening, Brother Webb. You and I noticed the word again. In what sacrifices? It is especially referring to the Day of Atonement. Read it again, Brother Wade.
But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again.
Again?
Made of sins every year.
Okay, there you have it. Your sin was only pushed forward. Every year, your sin would be brought forward. It's like you owe money to the bank. You don't have it to pay. The bank can send you to prison, but you know what the bank does? Is that every year you are called upon in the bank to come and sign a promissory note. Every year, to renew the promissory note. When next year comes, you're called upon. That was what the entire Old Testament, Jewish Old Testament period. That is some 1400 years. Sins were kept being brought forward. There's some more text on that. Why God did that? Why God did that? Brothers and sisters, I encourage you, next week, Sunday, we pick up on this lesson. Bring your sacrifices. It's not only on the fact that sin under the Old Testament was removed only for 1 year. After that 1 year passed, that same sin was put up against your account. Oh, we encourage you to be here next week as there are two things. There are some more to be said about sin being brought forward. Two, why was that system necessary? Why God gave it? Why not just deal with sin? Then, three, we're going to look on some of the sacrifices that we are called upon to give. Bring your sacrifices. We encourage you not to miss out on the rest of this lesson and to give any friend, any neighbor, any co-worker you can the opportunity to come and learn. One of the takeaways that you should take from this is when men and women come to you with the Old Testament system, as a guide for us, be it Sabbath or whatever. Next week, well, many of you know that no sin for anyone was ever really forgiven under the Old Testament system. Not for Abraham, not for David, not for the priests under the Old Testament system. For no one. No sin was ever forgiven. Come next week as we finish this lesson. In the meantime, if you are here today and if you are not a child of God, we live under a system called the Gospel of Jesus Christ. New Testament Christianity, where when God forgives you or me for any sin, the Almighty God promised that sin He will remember no more. And you and I can deal with God, taking His word at that. What you and I must make sure is that we take the right step to get our sins forgiven. As we stand up sing, again we encourage you that Jesus Christ calls you to forgiveness. He calls you to fellowship. He calls you to holiness. He calls you to sonship and daughtership. But you must first give him the chance to address your sin problem. You can do so now by believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior. By repenting, making a resolution to repent of your sin. What is that? To turn from your sin. Anything in your life you recognize now to be contrary to the will of God, you can make a resolution to turn from it today. Repentance does not necessarily take a year. It's a resolution you make that you are going to turn from whatever you recognize to be wrong, sinful, ungodly, contrary to the will of God. If you will repent, if you believe in Jesus Christ, and if you will repent of your sin and confess His name, you can be baptized today for the removal of your sin. And if you are a child of God who has strayed, backslidden, grown unfaithful, the Almighty God also has a plan to address that. And that is acknowledgement of your sin and the recommitting of your life to Jesus Christ. God wants to forgive you and to remember it no more. Of all the problems you think you have, sin is the worst one. And Jesus Christ stands ready right now to deal with your sin as we stand. 559.